evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Again, thinking about that night in Bethlehem when the angels arrived from heaven to earth, and they didn't have to use a space shuttle to show up. They went from one dimension to the next in a matter of seconds. But anyway, that night when those shepherds received the good news that the Messiah had arrived, they had no idea that that Messiah was God's son. They had no idea that night that that baby that was laying in that manger would be the savior of the world. And I don't have a computer operator tonight. And thank you. That night in Bethlehem, what was expressed from God to those people would later come and change the entire course of human history. And
do you know how far the shepherds had to travel?
Not very far. Because considering the size of the town that Bethlehem was, not very far, the fields. I kind of, who knows? I mean, it could be as far as your house was, but I imagine it may have been a little distance away, because I think by the glory of God being with the angels and shined all around those shepherds that night, the town people probably would have saw it if they were relatively close, like your field is where your horses are. But anyway, what I want to remind everybody of, that this same Jesus that was once that baby in that manger was the same Jesus that was crucified on the cross, is the same Jesus that allowed the clouds of the sky to remain up there every day. As it says in Hebrews chapter 2, that by the power of his word, he holds everything together. That means Gary get to breathe air, okay? That means the ring cycle continues. Nothing fails. The gravity of the moon still controls the waves of the ocean, okay? Nothing changes. But yet every day we go about, have our being and move about, and we really don't think about that, right?
Take it for granted.
We take it for granted. But this Paul in Rome, as he addresses the issues that's going on in Rome, in a sense going to remind both Jews, because those shepherds were Jews. Notice they got the greatest revelation before the 12 apostles did. Because most of the apostles may not have been born at this point. And later, Paul is going to remind Jews who historically knew this stuff, and supposedly have known it, shall I say, and the Gentile Christians who are now at each other's throats, Gary. Chapter 14 gives us a different dimension to look at tonight. What's happening now is that you got people with their foolish prides begin to bump heads. And Paul is going to have to assert some things here and let both sides know that what they were really arguing over, what they were really hurting each other over, had no bearing on their salvation. And that they would, in fact, stand before the judgment seat of God, or another way to say it, the judgment seat of Christ. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you won't stand in judgment. Okay? And so, I assure you, what God is going to show us this evening by the Holy Spirit is going to benefit us greatly. And it's going to help you change the view of the church, because we are the church. And when she's delivering mail, people are going to see that this young lady is not full of pride, but she's humble, a humble servant of Jesus Christ. And some are going to see this young man instructing people, people that he don't even know what their backgrounds were before he met them. And yet they'll be able to look at him and say something is different about this instructor than the rest of them. And when you and Big Brother walk out of here on that sidewalk, if you take a right turn to go get a hamburger like Miss Marie liked to, folks need to know that your life is different. Your life is now aligned with Jesus. Okay? And even if someone walks up to you and say, you know what, I'm from the Baptist faith, I'm from the Methodist faith, or I'm from Episcopalian or Catholic, or whatever their denominational title that they want to throw up on you, and it's amazing how they love titles, right? No matter what the titles are, because that's what we're dealing with here with the Jews and the Gentiles, because they really were asserting their titles on each other. God has a message tonight on how we're to behave ourselves. And it's a very powerful message. Chapter 14 is not very long, so we should be able to get through it tonight, hint, hint, without too much wussing. But before we do, let's pray, giving God the honor and the glory. We must glorify God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you're our God and that your name is holy and beyond measure, Lord. We cannot understand totally your principles and character of your nature. We all know that Jesus Christ, your Son, is just like you. Lord Jesus, you are the Holy One of God. And that Father, who is God and God alone, sent you here to be the forbearance and the propitiation of our sins. And that you did. And you set a standard for your house, your church, your body. And you put those standards in place by having men write letters to different bodies and men who are full of the Holy Spirit, and to help regulate us so that people would know that we belong to you and that we will bring honor to your name. Lord, tonight as we look at the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, as Paul addresses some pretty serious issues, Lord, help us to glean from that. And in this 21st century, some people may think that what Paul is covering is outdated, is very antiquated. But Lord, your word is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You do not change. And Lord Jesus, you remain the same forever. And so we're asking you by Holy Spirit to teach us, because we are truly your disciples, and we know as your disciples, we are lifelong learners from you. And as we sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit now, we're asking that you open our hearts, Lord, our minds, help us to get understanding in all that we do today, and that your wisdom will abound in our hearts and your knowledge will flow like a rushing mighty river. We ask, Lord, that you be with the ungodly. Allow them, Lord, give them the blessing of coming in here in your gospel, so that by your Holy Spirit, their hearts will be convicted and their minds will be convinced that they need you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, heal you people that are sick right now. Those children, Shelly's children, heal them right now in the name of Jesus. Drop those colds and those viruses. Clear out their stomachs, Lord. Heal them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, now have your way. We bind the forces of darkness here. You have no room here, Satan. No authority. For we're all under the blood of Jesus. Thank you now, Lord, as you have your way in your studies. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Very unique thing. You would never think that a pastor would have this really set people down and talk to them about manners and about how they're really treating each other because of one group, what they eat and drink and what they observe. You really think that this is childish stuff. You would think children would be the ones that's going back and forth. I don't want that. Why is he eating that? You know, why is he drinking that? And you think babies, you know, elementary style folks would be doing that, right? But these are grown adults. remember, as Christians, we start as what? Babies. So they got to be taught the things of God. Okay? You have to. Coming from the King James Version, in the middle. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Another way to say it in the NIV. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment or disputable matters. That tells us that was a problem, right? That means somebody decided that I don't like what you're doing. And I have a right to get in your face and tell you what you're doing. That's wrong. Okay? Because that's what people do. Human nature says that I have that right, if you're doing something I don't like, to get in your face and tell you about it. And then the other human right says that I have the right to knock you out if you get in my face like that. That's what human nature says, right? And so, one group of Christians, they're really hammering the other group of Christians. All right, let's identify who these folks are. The ones by research saying that the ones who are weak were considered the Jews at this time, the Jewish Christians. Because they were looking at how Gentiles, for example, and Paul will go into this a little bit further in the next chapter, they would take meat that was sold in the marketplace that had been offered to idols and take it home and cook it and eat it. They didn't have a problem with it. Because they just say, oh, it's just a steak, a leg of lamb, okay?
Food is food.
And that was their mentality, food is food. One give thanks to God, food is okay to eat. And the Jews saying, whoa, not so. Not so. And so Paul here is having to identify some stuff. If you kind of want to know a little bit more about all of this, about the Jewish dietary law that God put in place, about what they can and cannot eat, two of the greatest places to go in God's word is Leviticus chapter 11. And that's, I mean, God really hammers it home there about the clean and unclean things. Mm-hmm. And then she looked at you and smiled, Gary, to tell me you've been reading. And then Deuteronomy chapter 14. You got that one marked too?
What's that?
Deuteronomy chapter 14.
Yeah, I got that marked too.
Oh boy, he's on it tonight. We're going to have a good time. I see that now. Anyway.
We have this argument.
No, Deuteronomy 14, I don't have marked.
So here. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but for one believe that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Okay? So one says, I'm strong enough to do whatever I want to. It's not going to bother my conscience. Right? I can drink what I want to. It's not going to bother my conscience. The other one going, oh boy, you shouldn't do that. And they come with the belief that, oh, God's going to get you for that. Okay? Well, as we progress, you find out that God did not change the dietary laws. They're still in place. Okay? And God put those laws in place not because of health reasons, but because he said so. He's holy. And that's what he tells us in chapter 11 of Leviticus. Right at the end of giving those instructions, those commandments, he says, for I'm the Lord your God, for the Lord, no, let me get it right. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Okay? It's all about what? Holiness. Being set aside, being different than the rest of the world, simply because God said so. That's what it's all about. Be holy because I'm holy. And Peter tells us, he said, without holiness, no man shall see God. Okay? That means you have really got to be living a life that's different than everybody else. Okay? That's what this whole thing is about. If you're following along in your sheets, you can kind of fill in, because I'm going to be talking fast. But if you need to slow me down and say, hey, what about this? Did you cover this part? Some of it, I'm asking you to kind of be very deductive. That means listen to what I'm saying and pull out the facts. Is that okay? Good. But if you need to stop me, I'm cool with that too. Verse 3. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. Did you get that? So just because I don't have a problem eating whatever you think I shouldn't eat, don't mean you need to. I need to look down on you because you got a problem with it. That means I need to stop and consider you. Okay? He's going to cover that later. So the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. Did you get that? For God has accepted him. Okay, here's what you need to understand. Both groups. Did not Jesus Christ die for both groups?
Yes.
Did both groups not submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ? So then God has accepted both groups. So why are you trying to put a burden on this group for not doing what you want? And why is this group trying to put a burden on that group for not doing what they want? We, in the 21st century, we see that all the time. We tell people things that not necessary, factual, when it comes to the things of God. And we make it in a, like that old cliche, it's holier than thou. You heard that? And we compel people, if you're not like me, if you don't worship like me,